Welcome to Resurrection Camp Meeting 2021, live from Family Worship Center in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, let's go live to Family Worship Center as this service begins.
Open your Bibles this morning to the great book of Matthew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began at dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." In verses 6 and 7 of this great account of that resurrection morn, there are four words that literally sum up the gospel. Come, see, go, tell. Come, see, go, tell. And that's what I want to minister on this morning, this great Resurrection Sunday and Dedication Sunday. Come, see, go, tell. Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that has been in every single service of this camp meeting. Lord, you have visited us miraculously. So many have been filled with your Spirit, healed by your power. And Lord, as we come to this service, this dedication service, this resurrection service, anoint me to minister. Anoint me to speak that which you have placed upon my heart. And Lord, help it to touch the hearts and lives of those not only here, but those watching and those listening by Sun Life Broadcasting Network. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said amen and amen. I want to begin with an opening statement this morning, and I want to take you back to the great book of Job where this statement came from. Most Bible scholars and theologians believe, and I share that sentiment, that Job was the very first book of the Bible to be written. The very first one. And it's interesting. The theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the story of Jesus. It's the story of redemption. But the great theme of the book of Job is not redemption, it's sanctification. The sanctification of the saint. And in the 19th chapter, Job, broken, humbled, he's lost his family. He's lost his fortune. His friends have turned against him. They have accused him. You are the cause for this problem. You have some secret sin that we don't know about, and now you're being judged. That's the reason why you've lost everything. But in the midst of all that was going on, Job stood up and he proclaimed, "For I know my Redeemer liveth." Hallelujah. "For I know my Redeemer liveth. And on that day, he shall stand upon the earth." I want you to know this morning, I can't even count the number of times that I've been to Jerusalem and I've been to the Garden Tomb. And I want the world to know this morning that tomb is empty. He's not dead, but he is risen. Hallelujah. And resurrection is a display of power. A resurrection that was brought about by the power of God. Just as beautiful as is the salvation of a sinner. That's resurrection power at work. Because understand something this morning. No dead Christ on a cross can draw a sinner to him. It takes a crucified, risen, ascended, and glorified God man in all of his glory to draw the lost, the broken, the hurting, the sinner to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I gotta say it again. He's not dead. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. And because he lives, we can live also. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know the problems. I don't know the bondage in your life. But I want to tell you, there is one that has paved the way. He has paid the price for you to have life and life more abundantly. You don't have to spend 1 second more in sin. You don't have to spend 1 second more in bondage. Jesus has paid the price. And he has guaranteed it. Because on that third day, that stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, because he was already out, but to let everyone else in. Hallelujah. Man, I'm tired, but I'm going to do it. Wow! Hallelujah! I am a recipient. You are a recipient of resurrection power and resurrection life. Hallelujah. I was reading an article a while back, and the person was talking about the moon landing. And he made the statement that when Neil Armstrong stepped out and placed his foot on the moon, and I don't remember how he quoted the statement, that famous quote, I don't remember it because it really doesn't matter to me. One small step for man, one giant step for mankind. And then the writer made the statement that this was the greatest day in human history. And I was reading that and I thought to myself, well, it was a great day when man walked on the moon. That's pretty cool. None of us have done it. That's pretty cool. But the greatest day in history was the day that Jesus walked out of that tomb saying that my sacrifice on Calvary was not in vain, but my resurrection ratifies everything that I did on Calvary. Hallelujah! Well, actually, you cannot separate the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. You really cannot do it. In the mind of God, they're all basically, in theology, one event. There had to be a perfect birth. Man in sin could not redeem fallen man. Therefore, God in his wisdom said, I will become man. I will pay a price that man cannot pay. I will take upon me the wrath and the judgment that all man deserves by becoming a man and being the perfect sacrifice. Calvary, that's where it was all done. That's where that the judgment was applied. That's where the sin debt was paid. That's where the sin debt was canceled. That's where the blood washed away all of the penalty against man. Of the resurrection is when he walked out ratifying that victory won on Calvary. And at the ascension, he is now seated by the right hand of the Father. But I got news for you. There's more than one resurrection. There's a resurrection day coming when all the saints of God, the trump of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the clouds forever to be with the Lord. And that word clouds, it doesn't mean the cumuli. That word clouds means there's going to be so many saints going up that it's going to look like clouds in the sky. The word rapture, the word resurrection, same word, same meaning. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I could just imagine, we don't really, look, how can we who are finite understand he who is infinite? We can only understand by what we can read and what the Holy Spirit helps us to learn. And that's why you need an expositor study Bible. If you hang around 30 seconds, he's going to sell you something. And I'll take the money. I don't know what you said, but it sounds good. Amen. But no one could understand. He had told the disciples, listen, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. 3 days I'm going to be in the heart of the earth. But on that third day, I'm coming out victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. Hallelujah. But they couldn't understand it. They even when he appeared to them, they didn't even know it was him. They couldn't understand, and don't fuss at them. We couldn't understand it either. So how can we understand, like we should, that resurrection to come? I don't understand it all other than this. I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for things of pearl. Oh, I don't know the words of it. Somebody help me. Can somebody help me? What are the words? I'm getting ready.
I'm getting ready to leave this world.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready for things of pearl.
Watching.
Keeping my record right.
Watching both day and night. I'm getting ready
to leave this world.
Are you getting ready this morning? Are you getting ready this morning? Are you getting ready this morning? Are you getting ready to leave this world? Hallelujah. I'm leaving Joe Biden. I'm leaving Nancy Pelosi. I'm leaving everyone that don't believe in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm getting fitted for a robe of royalty and a robe of righteousness and some new shoes. And I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. Hallelujah. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. We're one day closer to the trump of God sounding. Hallelujah. Man, I feel sorry. I don't believe in the rapture. Well, then you don't believe in the resurrection. There can't be a rapture, I mean, a resurrection without there being a rapture. Because the resurrection of the Lord was the earnest, the down payment of the resurrection to come. Hallelujah. 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 You need to quit thinking corporately and start thinking singularly. He's coming for me. He's coming for me. He's coming for you. He's coming for you, 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 you. He's coming for you. He's coming for you if you know him. Hallelujah. He did all of this for me. He did all of this for you. Hallelujah. It's power. Resurrection is power. It's victory. It's life. It's joy. It is dancing and shouting. It's worship and praise. Hallelujah. He did it for me. And I'm going to be leaving this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's interesting to me in this narrative of the resurrection. The Lord brings it back to two things. Calvary. The one you look for, the one that was crucified. There had to be a crucifixion. There had to be a perfect, spotless lamb offered up in order for that resurrection to take place. But also, as I told you, in the narrative, we are really given the gospel story. The angel said to Mary, come, come. The gospel message to a world that is broken, that is bound by drugs and alcohol, bound by nicotine, bound by perversion, homosexuality, lesbianism, bound by hate and racism, bound by gluttony, bound by lust, bound by greed, bound by everything that is not pleasing to the Lord. You've got no hope outside of Jesus. I'm here to tell you, the Lord says to you today, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not me, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will give you rest. Hallelujah. Just think about living for Satan. It's like being on a treadmill. You just keep running, but you don't get anywhere. There is no goal to arrive at except destruction. You've got 30 million alcoholics in America. I don't know how many in the world, but in America. And I think I read another 20 million problem drinkers. What's the difference? We are in, right now in our nation, in an epidemic of opioid addiction. I read the other day in one of the, and I don't remember the name of the town. If I did, I wouldn't call it out, but it's in New England. It's a very small, quaint New England town where much of our beginning history began in that part of the world as a nation. And they were talking about how that they are in the midst of a heroin epidemic in this little town. And the police chief, and I read this, it was on the front cover of the New York Times where I read this. And he said, you know, when we walked the street, the hallways of our junior high, we would find an occasional joint. We would find cigarettes. We would find an occasional can or bottle of beer. But he said, we're finding needles. I'm talking about seventh and eighth graders. We're finding needles. In the high school, there are needles everywhere. We're finding them. Our small hospital, the emergency room, is in a mode of we cannot handle all of the cases of our young people that are overdosing on heroin. Every policeman, when we go out, we have to carry Narcan with us. That's that thing that they can inject in somebody that's overdosed, and it will flush the drugs out of their system in order to try to save their life. He said, every EMT, we have to constantly stock up every single day. He said, I don't know why this is. And I was sitting there thinking, I know why. It's called sin. It's called sin. It's called sin. But I'm here to tell you, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. There is one that can break that addiction, can break that dependence, that can set you free, that can make you a brand new woman, a brand new man, a brand new young person, can take that bondage and strip it away as though you've never done drugs one day in your life. We see the signs, especially in this town because we have casinos. Big billboards advertising, come, our slots are looser. Yeah, they're so loose because your pocket is loose. And then they have at the bottom of it, if you have a gambling problem, call this 800 number. But we laugh, but it is serious of these people. They're bound. They've got to hear the pull of that lever. They've got to feel the dice as it comes off their fingers. Now, I have to be honest with you. I do not understand gambling. I don't understand it. Because I work too hard for what I make to take a chance on putting some money in a machine and pulling the lever or rolling some whatever they make those dice out of. Now, if you want to throw it away, I'll take it from you. You don't have to go to Vegas. Just come see me. I'll take all you got. And I'll hold it for you until you get delivered. I remember I was, Debbie and I were going to Reno, Nevada to preach a meeting years ago. And we met some friends in Las Vegas. We couldn't go directly to Reno. We had to change planes in Las Vegas. This was the first time I'd ever been to Las Vegas, and I walked out of the airplane and there were slot machines in the terminal. And I mean, there were people. And we had made plans to spend the night there and visit our friends. Then we would go on to Reno. And I'm a runner. Been a runner for 40 years. Well, No, that's not true. I used to be a runner. Then I became a jogger. And then I became a walker. And now I am slash jogger, walker, dreamer in my mind. But I'm out there just about every single morning, 4 to 5 miles every day, walking and running. All right. So I got up early to go run. And when we had come in after eating that the night before, we were walking to the hotel room, the elevator, and I went to get something. Debbie went up the room, and I went to get, I don't remember what it was, but I had to walk through the casino to go where I was going. And I remember as I was coming back, there's slot machines were on my left, and there was an elderly lady sitting there. She had a tub of quarters. And this was like about 10 o'clock at night. And she was sitting there with one hand, taking that quarter, putting it in, pulling it. Quarter, pulling. And I was waiting for the elevator to come down, and I'm just watching her. Nothing. Nothing. Just kept. And I'm like, how long is she going to do that? And this is the God's honest truth. I walked out of that elevator at 5 a.m. the next morning to go run. And that woman was still sitting there. And I walked by, and at first I didn't pay attention to her. Then all of a sudden it hit me. I said, is that the same woman? And I turned around, and I walked back and looked. And then I left the hotel, and I went running. And I began to think about that, and I began to think, what kind of life is that? The life you know with Jesus is not a gamble. It's a sure thing. He said, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. Come to me and I'll change you. Come to me and I'll save you. Come to me and I'll restore all that you've lost. Come to me and I'll give you back your youth. I'll give you back your health. I'll give you back your finances. Come to me and I'll restore all that Satan has taken from you. That's the first step in the gospel. You gotta come. You can't just look at it from afar. You've got to come and experience Jesus for yourself. He said, see. The word see is very interesting there. It means to perceive the meaning or the importance of. What you've got to see is not this church, not me, not these people, not the Assemblies of God or the Church of God or the Four Square or the Baptists or the Methodists, but you've got to see Jesus. You've got to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've got to see the one that who bore the stripes upon his back, who bore the crown of thorns upon his brow, who suffered the indignity and the shame of the cross, who was nailed to that cross with his hands and his feet, whose side was pierced, and he did it all for you. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see what the Lord can do for you. Hallelujah. You that are watching, bound by sin, I want you to, as the camera pans this audience, these other cameras pan, every one of these people were once just like you. Many of them were alcoholics. Many of them were drug addicts. Many of them would be in prison right now. Many of them would be dead. Many of them were once in gangs whose life was ruled by violence. Some in here, at one time in their life, they would soon as slit your throat as smile at you. But now, as Dad preached the other night, they are washed. They are justified. They are sanctified because they came, they saw, and they experienced the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! 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 You know, I love sports. Like last night, Ryder and I, that's my buddy. Ryder and I, we watched the last couple minutes of the last Final Four game. Gonzaga and UCLA. Go Zags. Somebody must be from Spokane. And now, the number one team all year, preseason number one. And in this shortened, crazy pandemic season, couple of games canceled, having to fly all over the U.S., having to quarantine, not able to go to class, just everything. They finished the season undefeated, 28-0. They're playing UCLA. They've gone through one game, beat them. Second, third game, now they're playing UCLA. And UCLA is a tough team. And they get down first overtime, seconds left, 90-90. Looked like it's going to go into a second overtime. And the momentum is with UCLA. Gonzaga is trying not only to win the game, but to win the national title Monday, to be the first undefeated team from the beginning of season to the end of season since 1976. And I'm sitting there like, nah, it's not going to happen. 3-2, they're bringing that ball. Half court, guy pulls up and banks in a three-pointer at the buzzer. And I'm jumping up and down because I have good times when I watch my sports. You don't want to come to me, to my house when LSU is playing, because I will not talk to you. You will be ignored. I kid you not, when LSU is on TV, I have a walk thing, a count, step counter on my phone. I will walk through the house. I do not sit down. I have walked as much as 3 miles in my house during the game. What are you doing? I'm watching TV and praying. Oh, God, anoint that kicker. Oh, God, anoint that arm as he throws that ball. So I enjoy it, but let me tell you, there's nothing greater than hearing a sinner that got saved. How many times? Tell me how you got saved. Tell me how Jesus came into your heart and life. Tell me what the Lord did to you, hallelujah, and did for you. You are here because you came and you saw and Jesus transformed your life, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were, when 1967, we in January and February, we held a 9-week meeting in the first part of March in Detroit, Michigan, Brightmoor Tabernacle. I went to school in Detroit, sixth grade, for 9 weeks. That was the longest I ever went to one school. When we were traveling, I went to 32 schools in 4 years. It was not a problem. I cannot read or write. But other than that, it was no problem. My mother taught me for 3 years, correspondence, and then for the next, until the end of the eighth grade, they'd move me wherever we hold a revival. I'd go to school. I found a box of report cards the other day from schools I never even remembered going to. They were not even a blip on my radar. But God began to move in that revival. It was jam-packed every night. I mean, God was seeing people were saved. Matter of fact, that church quadrupled in size because of one revival. It became not only the largest Assembly of God church in the state of Michigan, but one of the largest in America because of that one revival. And every night, it was freezing cold, snow piled up on the ground. There was snow for the entirety of the time that we were there. And my dad made me walk to school 6 miles uphill both ways in the snow with no shoes and no coat. Matter of fact, one day it was like a 3 mile walk, and I kept seeing this cemetery. And I said, you know, okay, I gotta go all the way. If I cut through, I'll cut this walk in half. So next day I come walking by and the gate was locked, so I just climbed over it. And I couldn't figure out the layout because snow had covered everything. So I just said, I know I got to get from here to that way. And I could see the gravestones sticking out. So I said, okay, I know not to walk on the graves. I can figure that out. I didn't know anything about snow. I forgot to factor in that the ground may be. And I took one step and was up to here in snow. And had to dig myself out. But, I mean, the Lord would move, and the people would line up an hour and a half, 2 hours in the cold to get into the church. And it was a Saturday night. The place was jam-packed. And a man and his wife walked in, and they were dressed in evening wear. He had a tuxedo. She had a gown. They were going to an event in that area of Detroit that they were not familiar with. They saw the building, and the church was not built like a church. It looked like an office complex, actually. And they saw all the people walking in. They saw cars pulling up and dropping people off, and they said, that's it. And they walked in, and an usher stepped and said, I'm sorry, it's full. There's no more seats. But then all of a sudden another usher stepped and said, no, wait, we got 2 seats left. I just came to tell you, we got 2 seats left. And he said, oh, you've got them, come in. And they were kind of confused because they had tickets. They kind of pulled out their tickets and said, I don't know what that is, keep them. And the 2 seats right on the front row. And that service started. The Spirit of the Lord started moving. And it was obvious to everyone that they had never been to church before. The whole service, they kept going. Where are we? I don't know. What are they doing? I don't know. What's he talking about? I don't know. And I mean, God moved that night, and after the service, Dad was getting ready to walk off the platform, and they came on the platform. They walked up to Daddy, and I can remember it like, yeah, he said, I don't know who you are, and I don't know what this is, but I have never felt anything like this in my life. Come and see. We've got life to offer you. We've got a buzz that you'll never lose. Hallelujah. Oh, in that same meeting, this popped into my head. In that same meeting, Dad, he always had them take the top of the piano off. Not raise it, but take it off. So it would carry it better. And then back in the day, he would when you open this, there is all the strings, and there's little openings like this. And he would take a big glass of water and set it in there. And he would be preaching. And he'd be thirsty, and he'd be preaching just up a storm. Back in those days, he walked 50 miles. And he'd pick up that glass of water, put it back, go back to preaching. And after the service, honest to God truth, no exaggeration, a man standing off to the side, he's just looking around. Daddy was getting his buzz on. Well, I got news for you. We have a buzz 24 hours a day. And we don't need Jack Daniels. We don't need vodka. We don't need Coors. We don't need Mogan David. We don't need marijuana. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living. Come, come, come and see. And then after you come, you see, and you allow the Lord Jesus to transform your life. He told us, go. The gospel is not to stay in the four walls of the church. But Jesus said, and Mark said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature on earth. Hallelujah! We've got the greatest news in the world. We've got news that'll blow your mind. You don't have to die and go to hell, but Jesus Christ will save you. Go, go, go. It's not enough for America to hear. But Canada, Mexico, Central and South America, Africa, Asia, the islands of the sea, they've got to hear. Europe, they've got to hear that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what, why God has raised up Sun Life Broadcasting Network to go. Right now, as I'm speaking, my words are going into over 100 countries of the world. A couple of years ago, I was in Italy preaching in Naples, or as they call it, Napoli, and a couple of other places that I cannot pronounce, and I won't try to pronounce it. And left Naples, flew to Paris, had to change planes in Paris. And the terminal that I had to go to, it was all the last terminal. I landed on one terminal on one end of Charles de Gaulle Airport. And I had to go all the way to the other side, but it didn't matter. You had a 6-hour layover, 5-hour layover. Everybody says, oh man, it must be glamorous traveling. Layover, 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 late. Can't take off. Rerouted. Get there a day late. Get there at 3:00 in the morning. No, it's not glamorous. And so I'm getting to the terminal, Delta. And you know, I just want to say something right now. I'm a 2 million miler with Delta. You have no problem demanding that I show proof of ID to get on a plane. But you got a problem with someone voting and showing a voter an ID? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And so I'm walking, I hear the for those of you connecting from Charles de Gaulle, Paris to, where was I going, the first, Atlanta. Please come by the check-in gate and let us double-check your passport. And I still had about 3 hours, but I thought, oh, I'm just going to go get over. I'm walking, walk up, I'm in line, lay my passport down. And the lady, she's and I'm like, it's not a great picture, I know, but and she and I'm like, is there something wrong with my passport? And all of a sudden, in the corner of my eye, I see a man sitting down. And all of a sudden, he's reading, and he goes, and he jumps up, and he goes, Brother Donnie, I can't believe this. I'm flying back from St. Petersburg, Russia, in a convention. A medical convention or something, I don't know. And he said, I get to the hotel and I turn on the television, I'm flicking the channel, and the first knob I pushed, it stopped on SVN. And he goes, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I was watching you in Russia. Had some people a few days ago. We just got back from Poland. Walked into the hotel, turned on the television, and there was SBN. Oh, hallelujah! Go, 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 go! And he said, my wife's not going to believe this. I'm going to call her right now. I said, you know, there's a time change. I don't care. And I still don't have my passport back. And I'm looking at him and kind of looking at her, and she's just... So he hands the phone. I'm having to talk to her. And then out of the corner of this eye, this French Delta employee, she turns and calls some others over. And she goes, and they're like, and I don't speak French. I don't even speak English. I speak American. Southern American. How y'all doing? What up, dude? And I turned around and they're all standing there smiling with all their phones going, photo, photo. I said, okay. And so they're all lining up and I'm saying like, and they say, television. They couldn't speak it. They said, we watch you, television. We watch you. We watch you. Go, go, go. That's the reason why it's imperative that you support this network every month. We've got the greatest story ever told. And most of you, you'll never set foot out of the continental United States. You'll never be able to be a missionary. You'll never be able to preach a sermon. But every time you help us, you are sending us with the greatest message that the world has ever heard. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Jesus baptizes. And Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. We tell them, He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And it said, go quickly. We don't have 5-year plans, 10-year plans. Whatever we do, we got to do it now. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We have to be accountable today for doing everything we can today. We're still signing contracts. We're still adding networks internationally. We're not going to stop. Well, how are you going to pay the bills? We serve the greatest banker who owns all the gold and silver in the hills and the cattle on the hills. And he has a lot of people that he'll wake up in the middle of the night and say, you need to send a check to Brother Swaggart. You need to go on the computer right now and take part in the share-a-thon and the Bible-thon. We tell them that he's come to save them. Now, that's my introduction. Not really. This church is unlike any other church in the world. This church is a church for the world. Now, we have a burden for Baton Rouge. We have a burden for our state. We have a burden for America. But God has raised up this church to touch the world. This church has been seen by more people worldwide than any other church in the world. No debate on it. No debate on it. When we were building the ministry, we had bought this property out here. When we came out here, this was woods. There was Blue Bonnet, but it stopped right there. Everything else was a dead end, woods. Matter of fact, there was a barn right over there and cows walking around when we bought this property. We were over in North Baton Rouge and we had outgrown it. God was moving, blessing the television ministry. We were traveling about 3 weekends every month holding crusades all across the United States. And as we begin to grow, we had to have staff, personnel, and some of them were specialized that you couldn't find them in Baton Rouge. So Dad would make spots for radio and television and put it in a magazine. Hey, we need to hire this, this, this. And people started moving in. And most of them had the erroneous idea that we had a church, but we didn't. When they got here, they would, you know, where do you go to church? And we told them where we went. And when we were in town, like I said, we were gone about 3 weekends out of every month. And the people started coming to Dad, we want you to start a church. And Daddy told them emphatically, no, don't have time, don't want a church. I've already got enough headaches. Gone, traveling, recording albums, doing television, radio. I'm too busy writing books, articles. I don't have time. People kept saying, start a church. Start a church. And thank God for some people's stubbornness and perseverance. Brother Swaggart, you need to start a church. Not starting a church. You need to start a church. Not starting a church. You need to start. I'm not starting a church. And then, now you asking is one thing, but when Francis starts saying, Jimmy, you need to pray about this. We need to start a church. Francis, I'm not doing that. Are you going to pastor it? I'll let you go pastor it. Jimmy, pray about it. And there's two voices that gets through to him. The Lord and Francis. And so finally, your dad said, well, I'll tell you what. Okay, we'll start. But, you know, I'm not fooling with it. I'm not fooling with it. And so we went over on Segan Lane. I think they got some footage of it. And started. That's it right there. Little ballroom. Little small. And that's about all it was. Started. And on Sundays when we were here. And people started coming, and we had to go to another Holiday Inn a few miles away that had a bigger ballroom. And it came time for the dedication of the World Ministry Center. Some of you may have been here that day. And we had started construction on the main administration building and a warehouse building in the back where the academy is, where you see that brown sign that says family. Oh my goodness. The 80s do not need to be repeated. That's the original property right there. Well, actually the original property covered half the mall and all the way down to Perkins. And we started building. You see that white building in the back? That was going to be a warehouse. The church started exploding. And so when Dad realized, I've got to step in. We got too many people coming. And we need a building. But we had no building. So we moved into there. That's the first family worship center. Right there. A warehouse. That's it, right there. Would hold 1,000 people if you jammed them all in, and we did. We actually put a wall and divided it almost right down the middle because we had to have part of a warehouse. We had to have some place to store product. And we started. That was the warehouse. We started. That's the dedication of the ministry when we first moved in. And God began to move. People began to come. There are still some people in this building right now that were with us from the beginning. And we realized we've got to build a church. Dad had a vision of this building. God showed him exactly how it would look. He went and told the architects, it's going to be round. It's going to be just like this. Because God showed him. That was the original dedication of the original building 35 years ago. And as we begin to hold services, God began to move. We begin to build a staff, everything that you would, and we do it all here. We're just like a regular local church. We'll marry you, we'll bury you. We'll visit you in the hospital. We'll collect your offering. And God began to move, and here's the unique thing about it. This, all the programming that we do, Generation of the Cross, Francis and Friends, studying the Word, the message of the cross, story behind the song. That all comes from our television production building. And those programs are important. But there's no programming more important than what comes out of this church. Because this is the opportunity for us to show the world what Pentecost is all about. the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit. The power of God moving, people getting up out of their seats and walking down and praying the sinner's prayer. People walking down and being anointed with oil and prayed for. People coming down and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah! Many of you, you were saved out of programs that came out of this church, or you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's why God has raised this church up to be a church for the world. Hallelujah. And then 35 years, and she was a tremendous building, but 35 years, every barn needs some paint. And we knew we've got to update Family Worship Center. But we can't lose the intimacy. We've got to make sure that in everything we do, that it's not just for aesthetics, but it creates an atmosphere of friendliness. It creates an atmosphere of joy. And we stand here today in this brand new building as a testament to the glory of God. Because every program, singers, musicians, make your way back. Every program that goes out of here, we're here to tell the lost, the hurting, the broken, the Christian that's in bondage, the believer that needs the Holy Spirit. And I don't care what anybody says, there's no church that has as good as music as Family Worship Center. And has as balanced of teaching and preaching. And it's for you. It's for you. It's for the world. It's a church for the world. It's a church based on Calvary and the resurrection. That people can turn in to see what resurrection life is all about. And as I close this morning, I just want to say thank you for making the first 35 years mind-blowing. And should the Lord tarry, this is to the next generation of Swaggerts and the next generation. By faith, I see Ryder standing right there preaching. By faith, I see it, and you're a part of it. Wherever you live, every time, whether it's live or a rerun that goes out, you had a part. So behalf from me, my wife Debbie, mother, dad, Jill, Gabriel, that labor here 7 days a week, thank you. Thank you. Would you stand? Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I cannot preach on the resurrection without giving an altar call. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, I would pray that everyone in here is born again, saved, a child of God. But you never know who has come. You never know who's in the audience. If your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I simply ask a question that every person must answer. Are you saved? I cannot answer that question. Only you can answer that. Have you experienced resurrection life? And if you're not sure of the answer to that question, if you'll just take a moment and raise your hand right where you are, we won't embarrass you, but we'll pray with you this morning that you'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. As I look around this main floor, if you'd say, Brother Donnie, I need to make some things right this morning. If you'd raise that hand, I'm looking at the right, stage left, stage my stage right. If you're over there, you need to come to the Lord. There's a hand back there. Thank you. There's a hand there. Right here in this section, there's a hand back there. Hey, Christians, start praying. Right here. Is there anyone, Brother Donnie, I need to accept the Lord. Right here in this center section. Brother Donnie, I need to accept Jesus. I need to make some things right. If that's you, raise your hand right where you are. Right here. There's a hand back there. Thank you. Anyone else? They're on my left, right over here. That would raise that hand, Brother Donnie. Pray for me this morning. Raise that in the balcony quickly. As I look around, if you would raise that hand where you are. As they begin, there's a hand right there. Thank you. There's a hand right there. Thank you. As they begin to sing whatever feel led, I'm going to ask each one of you that raised that hand to step out from where you are and come stand right here. And I'm going to pray with you. Come on right now. If you raise that hand, come on. Come on, young man. I want you to look at me, those of you standing here, and those of you by television, by internet, by YouTube, by Facebook. If you need to accept Jesus, this is your moment in time. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer. And I'm going to ask each one of you to repeat this prayer out loud after me. I'm even going to ask everyone in the audience to say it with them so that their voices will not be alone. And as we pray this prayer, I want you to say it out loud for me, and I want you to believe every word. That's called faith. It's not in you saying words, it's in you believing the words. Now I want you to lift your hands as a sign of surrender and submission. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and say it out loud after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you. In the name of Jesus. I'm a sinner. But I know you are the Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for my sin. And I believe on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And because he lives, I can live also. Right now, by faith, the blood of Jesus washes and cleanses my heart. And right now, by faith, I become a child of God. And right now, I can say, I'm saved. I'm born again. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. We have a little book that we want to give each and every one of you free of charge, our gift to you that will help you on your walk. And those of you watching and listening, if you prayed this prayer, call us, email us, and we'll send you this book absolutely free of charge entitled, What Must I Do to Be Saved? It's going to help you in your walk with the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tonight at 6 o'clock, our final service, Brother Carl Brown will be ministering. We'll see you then. Those of you that are leaving, have a safe trip.
We are able to go up and take the country.
We hope you enjoyed this live Resurrection Camp Meeting service from the Sun Life Broadcasting Network.